Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. I've been in the Holy Ghost all afternoon. Anybody else been in the anointing today? It's been marinating with God all day. Are you ready for the Word? Turn to your Bibles. Proverbs 4. I intend to close it out tonight. We'll see if this happens or not. We're on a short series on the concept or knowledge of the word understanding, scriptural or spiritual understanding. Amen? And we've been comparing knowledge to wisdom to understanding. What we found out so far is knowledge is a gathering of facts. Understanding is a putting those facts together to know how acting in one area activates power or progress in another area. And wisdom is knowing when to do that. Amen. And so, to give you a three-word definition for knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, knowledge is the what. Yes, it's the what. Understanding is the how, and wisdom is the when. Do you follow me? Understanding or wisdom is being led of the Spirit. So it's vital that we get from knowledge to wisdom. We know the things, but then we know the when, and understanding is the bridge between the two. Amen. Understanding lets you know when to activate certain things, or what to do to activate certain things. And then the wisdom lets you know, let's do this now. So to understand that God wants you to be a tither or He wants you to be a sower is one thing, but to know He'll multiply your seed sown would be understanding, and to know when to sow it would be the wisdom, if you follow me in that example. So I want to read through Proverbs 4 because it's a great example of these principles. And we're just going to teach as we go through it. I actually had a thought. I won't do it because some of you wouldn't even come to church if you were afraid of it. I already gave you one pop test, right? But to give you a pop test in-house where I have you read a proverb and see how many principles you can count out of the one proverb. Because the proverbs are just line after line of spiritual principles. If you do this, you get that. And then just have that fun in a service, and then we teach through the proverb and pick out how many as a whole we can gather. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, I could feel your enthusiasm coming back at me. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine. In other words, God says it's all good. What I'm giving you is valuable. It's gonna produce all you need. Forsake you not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now here's a reference to Jesus, right? I was my father's son. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Jesus had to gain knowledge, understanding, and walk in wisdom. And if Jesus had to do it, guess what? It'd be valuable if we would do the same thing. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. God says, don't leave my word not being activated in your life. Don't let it fall away from your life. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. I want to be preserved. I want to be loved. Amen? And so, I want to be kept. Make sure that you make the Word the central point of your life. Jesus said He was the rock, right? We used to sing the old hymn, Standing. Amen. And we talk about standing on the promises. No, we weren't. Standing on a rock. No, we weren't. We were standing on a promise. Someday, if we died, we'd go to heaven. That's the only promise we knew. As we knew nothing about a promise of being healed. We know we could heal. We didn't know we were healed. We didn't know God. In fact, still the same people fighting, standing on a promise, singing, standing on a promises are fighting prosperity. Well, there's more promises about finances than anything else in the scriptures. Amen. And we talk about standing on the rock. How many have heard the standing on the rock sermons? Time and time again. You're not standing on the rock unless you're connected to the Word. Unless the Word becomes the anchor point of your life. And you can anchor to so many things in this world. You can anchor to finances. In other words, that's the number one thing people anchor to besides God. Either the love of money, or you're anchoring to God. People can anchor to natural wisdom, natural ability. They can anchor to other people. They become the one they trust in, that they're going to be their Savior. How many know we have politicians now that people are anchored to? They're going to be our Savior. When in fact, the only thing you can anchor to that is safe is the Word of God. Amen. And your pastor. And just teasing. You were instructed by a pastor, but you better make sure it lines up with the Word. Amen. And so the Word becomes what we anchor to. So he says, don't decline from my Word. It will keep you. It will preserve thee. And the truth is, what keeps you is not that you have a Bible. It's not even that you can quote the Bible. It's that you understand the Bible and walk in the wisdom the Holy Spirit provides. Amen. It's not understanding of the Word. I mean, knowledge of the Word. It's the understanding that brings you into the things of the kingdom. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. We read this last week, I believe. He said, you have all of this knowledge. How many know they memorized the entire Torah, the entire Old Testament? He says, why are you still yet without understanding? Even rebuked the disciples for it, right? Why don't you have understanding? You've got all the knowledge, but not understanding. See, knowledge without taking the step of gaining understanding of how the kingdom operates, what the kingdom is really about, will not take you into eternal life. Understanding bridges the gap between genuine knowledge and walking in the wisdom of God. Walking in the fullness of the Spirit, right? So he says, get these, don't decline from it. And then he says this, look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means they're of the highest importance. Wisdom is number one. He says, therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The two go together. Get wisdom. Learn to be led of the Spirit, but then let the Spirit of God instruct you on how the kingdom functions. Amen. I don't need the Spirit of God to tell me every Sunday to tithe. Well, I have understanding of tithing. I know it's a kingdom principle. Amen. I know it elevates me above the curse. I know that it opens the windows of heaven before me. And so because of understanding, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to come to me every Sunday and say, tithe. He used to. When I was first saved, I didn't know anything about tithing. So the Spirit of God had to tell me to tithe. A week later, you need to tithe again. Well, I tithed last week. I remember the first time I ever sowed a seed in the kingdom. We went to hear a special speaker. Hadn't been saved very long at all. Went to hear a special speaker, and I gave my biggest offering, well, I'd ever given in a church, $20. This is 1984. So $20 is more like $30 today. I mean, it's a lot of money. I stretched out and gave $20 in the offering. I'm sure Patty, when I got home, said, what were you thinking? Amen. And I said, God told me to put $20 in there. And I pondered all night. Why did God want me to put $20 in the offering? Why? It was just a special meeting. It wasn't even a church meeting, you know. Why did I put $20 in? And when I got to work the next day, I'm just learning to be led of the Spirit. On my desk was a stack of towels that was a wedding present about 4 months late. And I looked at the stack of towels and it says, "Here's your late wedding gift." And when I saw the towels, God said, "There's the return on your $20. I knew it. He said that I had sown a seed and saw immediate harvest. Now, you don't always see an immediate harvest, but it's a principle. And so it's get wisdom, learn to be led of the Spirit, and get understanding how the kingdom operates. So when we're teaching Sunday morning on the principles of the kingdom, that's what God said to get. Learn how it works. My daughter Lori just got another car. And they did total out her last one. And wasn't her fault. But she bought a new car. She bought one of these Mini Coopers. Used one. And it's not like other cars. All the controls are different. Amen. It's got different shifting options. The radio's up here, but the volume's down here. It's got all these buttons and knobs all over the place. Yeah, speedometer, and it's got a tachometer and all this stuff. She's going like, "What is all this?" So even the dipstick is different. And Saturday morning I sat with her, and we sat in her car and went through every button and thing in there. And I taught her, "This does this, this does this, this does this, don't touch that one, this one." To give her understanding of how her car operated. Because when she's driving on the road, is not, you need to know. There was one dial up there. And it was a little circle with black on one half of it and clear on the other. She said, "What's that one?" I said, "That's your mirror adjustment for driving at night when bright lights get in your back window. You can go from day to night adjustment on your mirror." I said, "Have you ever had somebody behind you with bright lights on and it's flooding your car?" She says, "Yes." I said, "You flip that switch and it switches your mirror a little bit, and all of a sudden they just become circles of light versus flooding the entire car and blinding you." She says, "I didn't know that even existed." I said, "Well, you had it on your last car and the car before that." But not knowing it didn't let her access that function. Amen. There's even functions on the car. She says, "I'll never use that. It's got all these sports shifts and manual shift options and everything else. It's a cute little car." And she says, "I'll probably never use that." Well, the Bible has stuff you may never use, but it's got something for every situation you need. And if we'll learn the principles, if we'll gain understanding, we'll be able to overcome in every situation. Amen. He says in verse 8, exalt her. Exalt who? Wisdom. Notice wisdom is giving a person. In other words, it's personalized. That's why we know wisdom is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Exalt her as the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to take time tonight to go into the gender differences, you know, between the triune God. Some say that, you know, the Holy Spirit is the feminine side of God. Because the Spirit hovered over the water, which means to, as a hen broods over her nest or her young. Amen. But it refers here to the wisdom being the Holy Spirit as a her. I said I wouldn't cover it, and we just did, right? Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Now, you were designed by God to desire promotion. You were designed by God to desire success. God has never had a spiritual defect. He's never created anybody in the born-again experience with a failure mentality. Amen. Or a failure assignment. And it says here, if you'll exalt the Word and exalt the Holy Spirit, you will be promoted. Amen. If you don't, you won't. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her. Now, embrace is not just like shake hands. Embrace means you hug and you hold tight. Right? I've got one person in my life I embrace. Period. I hug other people, but I embrace her. Usually in the process, she gets a back rub, and so she's willing to put up with it for a period of time. And we're to pull the Holy Spirit close to us, as in an embrace. And if you do, it says, she will bring us to honor. The Holy Spirit will bring us to honor. She shall give to thee, to thine head, an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to you. God wants to bring you into the glory. But understand, there's a process. Again, so many people want to step into the glory, but they don't want to go through the process. They're just saying, God, just bring your glory upon me. God says, no. It takes development of knowledge, understanding, and moving into wisdom. Amen. Moving into the glory, you becoming a carrier, requires internal change before external manifestation. That whole stairway to agape we have in 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue temperance, godliness, and all the way through the process. And it ends up with love, right? And to your brotherly kindness, add love. That's a process of moving into internal change to let you manifest an outward anointing, an outward manifestation. And so it requires that we develop this understanding to move into it. He says, verse 10, hear, O son, and receive my sayings. Do you remember when we taught about Jesus' sayings? We did a lesson or two on the sayings of Jesus. Jesus said, if you'll obey my sayings, right, you'll be blessed. And we had to go look at what did he say. The sayings of Jesus are what he said. And what he said was repeatedly, he says, the kingdom of God is like. The parables were his sayings. They were mysteries that were to be unveiled by the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to give us understanding. So the sayings of Jesus were the principles of the kingdom of God. So he says here, to hold to his sayings, receive them. And look at this. And the years of thy life shall be many. Does anybody want to live long? Right? Live long and prosper? The Geek Conference coming up in September, right? September 20th. We all want to live long. And here we have a perfect example of a spiritual principle. Here's how a spiritual principle works. Do this, and it results in this. So he says, do this, obey my sayings. That would be all the principles. And it results in you live long. Amen. And as we do all the sayings, each of the sayings, I believe, activates a different aspect of blessing in our lives. I don't want to just live long if I'm living sick, right? Or if I'm living, in the gutter, if I'm living in bondage. And God's given spiritual principles all the way through the Word that will help us walk in victory and deliverance in every area of our lives. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. Now here again is evidence that wisdom is to be Spirit-led. Here the Holy Ghost says, I've taught you wisdom and I've led you in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. That word straightened means, it's be straightened is a Hebrew word that means cramped or distressed. Amen. I don't know where they get straightened out of that. To me, it sounds like you'll walk straight. But really what it's saying in the Hebrew is, when you go, your steps will not be cramped or distressed. You'll be free of pressure. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. I remember, I used to play ball all the time. I played basketball, I played softball, I played baseball. Whatever I could play. I just love the big three sporting events. Soccer was for sissies. But I'm just teasing, just joking. Sorry, Pastor Sunu. And this happened to me on at least two occasions. I got a hit, and it was an extra base hit. And I'm one in particular, I hit a hit and it went the fence, and I'm after an in-the-park home run. You know what I'm talking about? I never had the power to get over the fence, but I could get it in a gap, and I was fast enough I could get around back before I had all this weight and run the bases. And I'd hit this major hit, and I'm about to do in-the-park home run, and just as I'm rounding third and I'm halfway between third and home, I stumble and did a face dive toward home plate. And in the meantime, they catch the ball, walk over, and tag me out. Amen. One time they got me. Another time I did the same thing. I don't know if that was a hit through the gap or not, but one where I was rounding the bases, rounded toward home, and fell, and I was able to get up and make it again. But something with that final stretch where you can stumble. Amen. And all that work to eat dust and get tagged out. And here he says, I don't know if that was any value to you or not, but it just came to mind as I read it. When you run, you'll get a home run. You won't stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. I'm telling you want to live? You want the God kind of life? Hold on to God's instruction. Hold on to the Word. Where you can really say, I'm standing on the rock. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. That would be, don't hang out with evil people. Don't go where evil people hang out. Don't do what evil people do. Don't go on the internet where evil people go. Because just like following God properly, there's a blessing. Following the wicked carries a curse. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But, verse 18, but the path of the just. Let me give you another quick lesson here. There were just there. When in Scripture you read the word just, it's almost always the same word for righteous. Amen. We used to use the little phrase, just or justified means just as if I never sinned. But the truth is that's very limited. Amen. In the Old Testament, the just was just as if you never sinned. But in the New Testament, you're no longer a sinner. You're now just with God, made just or right with God. You've been made a new creation. So when you read the word just for you, it means you are now made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when you read that word just, put in the word righteous or righteousness so you can get the full understanding of what it means. Did you follow that? So he says, but the path of the righteous, that would be for us the born-again saint, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Or unto manifestation. The path of the righteous is the shining light, it says, that shines more and more to the perfect day. The more you follow after understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, the more you connect to the Word and you go after the things of God, the clearer and clearer your path becomes. The more you have understanding of the kingdom of God, the more it's obvious to you what you should do. Before I knew about the principles of the kingdom, tithing was somewhat potentially optional. What's the big deal if I don't tithe? Right? Sowing seed was optional. Following or obeying God was optional. But the more and closer I get to God, the more I realize these are of vital importance. In fact, all the principles of the kingdom become very important. You want to move out on the anointing? Does anybody? When I was young in the Lord, I could say what I wanted about people. I could think what I wanted about people. I could gossip even. And the ramifications weren't real high. Did you follow me? I could complain about the pastor. I could fuss about what somebody else did to me or somebody else did and, you know, make a big deal out of it. And I didn't have any anointing to lose, so what was the big deal? But the more you develop in your anointing, the more you spent days and days of fasting and hours of praying in tongues and your anointing starts to increase, you realize you don't want anything to tamper with that. And you start to realize that if you start running your mouth in the wrong way, all of a sudden the anointing lifts. You get very protective of following after the things of the kingdom. And so what happens is you advance, things start to become brighter and brighter to you and clearer. Used to be that I could listen to anything on WJMM, on Christian radio. I could listen to anybody on the Christian television programming. And it was, you know, hey, that was good, great. He's talking about Jesus. But the further you get down the path of understanding the ways of the kingdom, the less voices you can entertain instructing you on the things of the kingdom or the things of Christianity. Because all of a sudden, things have become so clear to you, so bright, the light shining so bright, you can discern that which was the birth of soul versus that which is birth of spirit. And the majority of Christian programming today is soul-birthed ministry. It's directed at men's souls, it's psychological in nature, and it's not faith-backed. And you get to the point you can discern what flesh is producing or even man's intellect and what God's birthing by the Spirit of God. Because things become clear. And you become much more discerning and picky, choosy about what you bring into your Christian learning gates. Amen. Why? Things got brighter. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what, at what they stumble. Now, we're doing a series on the principles of the kingdom Sunday morning, right? We could just easily do the negative principles of not being in the kingdom. One of the principles of the kingdom I've spoken about many times, or anti-principles, if I can use that term, is if you compromise truth, deception enters your life. You start compromising what's truth, you intentionally are deceiving people, or you're twisting the word, or, you know, you're willing to tell white lies about stuff for your own benefit. It activates, it opens doors, I believe, to demonic deception, that all of a sudden you can't tell what is truth. That's why I have so many politicians actually believe their lies. We have to pass this law to find out what's in it. That's deception to the max. Amen. And they believe that stuff. It's not that they're insincere. They're blind spiritually and can't tell truth from lie. So it says here, the wicked stumble and don't even know what they're stumbling at. They don't even know they're stumbling. That's why it's so important to stay in truth and honor the truth. My son, verse 20, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now he just stepped it up a notch. He says, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let go of them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, that's in the center of your focus. And he says it'll bring you life and health now. Health to your flesh. And one of the reasons is you learn how to activate the power of God in your life. It's not that you've memorized enough scripture. You know how to walk in divine health because you know how to activate the power of God in your life to produce it. You know how to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? You know how to bind and loose the right and wrong powers. You know how to truly pray with authority. You know how to charge your spirit as a battery, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know how to worship God when attacks come. You've learned how the kingdom operates, and because of it, you can activate and access the power of His blessing on your life. Verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Oh my goodness. Actually, the Greek where it says keep your heart with all diligence, Hebrew actually means above all. With is actually keep your heart above all with diligence. Diligent means you do it when you feel like it and you don't you do it when you don't feel like it. It's the same thing where Paul told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. That's when you feel like it and when you don't. I am not, let me say that in the past, have not been a diligent exerciser. I'm an exerciser when I feel like it. And the less I do it, the less I feel like it. Amen. Pastor Chad is diligent in physical training. Amen. That means if he feels like going to the gym, he goes to the gym. If he doesn't feel like it, he doesn't go to the gym. I mean, he goes anyway, right? I'll get it right in a second. I am a diligent prayer in the Holy Ghost. I pray in the Holy Ghost if I feel like it, and I pray if I don't feel like it. I get in the Word if I feel like it. I get in the Word if I don't feel like it. I go to church every time, feel like it or not. Even the special meetings. Last Monday night, I didn't feel like going to church. Amen. But something down here said, you need to go to church. What happens? I get a prophecy for 21 days of blessing, right? So he says, keep your heart with that diligence. That means you guard it against wrong inputs. There are a lot of people that are picky about what goes into their food. My kids, I don't care what you put it in. You put it, I'm going to eat it. But my kids are like guard dogs for putting onions in their food. Lori will eat. Patty makes the best meatloaf. I love her meatloaf. But Lori won't eat it if it's got onions in it. Little bitty diced up onion pieces. Oh, it's got onions in it. I can't eat it. You can't taste them. It's got onions. I can't eat it. Amy, when she was about 10 years old, Pastor Callan still tells this story. After one service in Frankfurt, we went out to eat a Steak and Shake, and Amy ordered a taco. No, it was a quesadilla taco, something like that. And when she opened it up, it had little bitty diced onions in it. And she sat there and picked out every onion before she would eat it. And the whole night was a disaster for her anyway. Everything went wrong. She broke out crying. Pastor Callan still teases her about it. Amen. Because of her pickiness, she caused her own problem. But she diligently guards her food. I diligently guard what I eat to some level. You know, I check expiration dates. It's got to be within at least a year of the expiration date before I'll eat it. But if it's late a little bit, I'll eat it. You know, amen. I'm going to try to make this story in a fashion that it won't give anything away. But used to have some dealings with a soup kitchen. And there was a lady that worked in the soup kitchen for a long time, and she was way overweight. Not picking on that. But she sweat profusely. And she made these homemade biscuits for the thing every day. And she'd be kneading this dough for the biscuits, and then she'd take her hand, just do like that, and go back to kneading the... I never ate there again. I don't care if they're making pizza. I wasn't eating it. Hamburger, I wasn't eating it. That did it for me. Because I diligently watch over to some level what I eat. Anybody went on? She's not there anymore. Amen. I did her funeral, in fact, many years ago. That was a trip also. Never preach at a funeral that people don't become angels when they go to heaven, and that God killed somebody because he needed another one in heaven. If the family, that's their number one doctrine. Amen. Oh, I had some people angry over that one. I'd have preached it anyway, but praise God. Diligently guard your heart like you might guard your food. Some of you are very diligent what you eat. It's got to have the right stuff. I know people that it's got to be specific stuff. Hamburger, no onion, no pickle, no tomato, maybe a little ketchup. It's got to be like that. They're diligently guarding what they're putting in their body. But Jesus said, it's not what you put into the body that defiles you, but what comes out. What comes out of your mouth, right? And then he says, out of the heart proceedeth that which defiles the body. So if you don't want defiling stuff coming out of your mouth, which defiles your life, then you got to watch what you put into your heart. And he says, guard it with all diligence. Be careful what you let come in through your sense gates, what you watch, what you listen to, who you hang out with, because it will transfer to your life. And he says, do it with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Again, that word issues there in the Hebrew is the word boundaries. The word issues there is boundaries. So out of the level you guard your heart will determine the boundaries and how much of the life of God you can move into. It becomes your limit. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now here he gave us a whole set of instructions, right? But he doesn't put at the end of it, and this happens. But understand, he's already tying back to what he already said, that it's going to bring you into life. Into life and health and establish the right boundaries for you. You can read through the Proverbs. Do this for a fun exercise at home. Pick any proverb and read through it and start marking or just counting the verses that deal with a spiritual principle. You're going to find out more verses have a principle in them that don't or tie to one. That's why when you read the Proverbs, it's so convicting. Because Proverbs contains the if this, then that precepts of God. And you can't read them with any real heart to draw close to God and not have conviction come on your life. At least self-examination for how well you're walking in that area or that requirement. Amen? So turn with me now. To 1 Timothy. Now, we just touched on this in principle just a minute ago. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, agape, love. I always like to put all three words in there, charity, agape, love, to get the full understanding of what that word is. That's the supernatural love of God. The end of everything God directs you to is to bring you into love. That's his end assignment. We talked about it this morning, right? Faith worketh by love. Love is God's number one assignment on your life. Out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Now, here's another area that people in the church today have no understanding of love. They think love is just doing a good deed. They think you can produce love out of willpower. Well, I just decided today I'm going to walk in love and I'm going to love everybody I come in contact with. No, you're not. You may try to bless everybody you come in contact with. You may try to speak well of everybody you come in contact with, but the supernatural love of God is an anointing you've got to access by faith. Willpower will not produce the anointings of God. And love being God's highest level of anointing, you don't produce it because you just decide to do it. It says it comes out of a three-step process. I call it God's recipe for agape. A pure heart, a good conscience. That word unfeigned means genuine, and genuine faith. You get a pure heart when you're born again. God takes out the heart of sin. He puts in your heart of righteousness. You get a good conscience by spending time in the Word and finding out who you are. You find out what happened when you received Jesus. You were made a new creation. You find out about the power of blood to cleanse you of sin. Amen. And you spend time washing your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. It gives you a good conscience because you can walk upright before God. As long as you're not going into intentional sin, you can walk upright before God even if you stumble. And know He loves you and He sees nothing but the right nature on your life, right? But faith unfeigned requires you bless your enemies. Genuine faith requires that you sow to those you may not even want to sow to. Genuine faith means you go beyond the offenses and the hurts that normally would hit you, and you choose to forgive and to bless versus to condemn and to try to vindicate yourself, right? Or avenge yourself is a better way to put it. And faith requires you speak. I walk in supernatural love. Amen. Christ dwells in my heart by faith, and I'm rooted and grounded in love and able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and breadth and depth and height and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, right? You confess love into your life, and then you act on it. Then you say, okay, today I'm going to be a blessing and expect the anointing of love to come on my life. What I just explained to you was the difference between knowing that love is something God wants us to do and having understanding of what it is and how to do it. Amen? It'd be like you're lost out in the wilderness and you know you need a fire. You know fire would warm you. Fire would bless you. Fire would let you cook. You know that lizard you just trapped or whatever, and have cooked lizard instead of raw lizard or whatever. Understanding lets you build a fire and produce that. And so many people are caught up just trying to walk in love out of their own ability versus have understanding of how you really manifest the anointings of God in your life. Do you see this? So then he says in verse 6, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. They've turned aside or swerved from love. And they've gone into vain jangling means powerless speaking. Words of no effect, no power. Vain means empty or powerless. Jangling means it's fruitless words. People have left love and turned to a powerless, fruitless life because faith worketh by love, right? Desiring to be teachers of the law. In other words, teaching how to walk in love, they're teaching law instead. Understanding, say understanding, neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. The word affirm means to assert confidently. They're standing up saying, I understand the law. I'm teaching the law. If you'll follow these laws or these rules, you can do this. And they'll say it confidently. But he says they have no understanding how the kingdom really operates. That God wants to learn how to, instead of live by religious rules or law, to walk in the supernatural agape of God. And understanding allows you to bridge that gap. Are you just following this tonight? Learning these principles, becoming a student of the kingdom of God and how it functions, how it's activated, how the anointings are activated, will take you from a defeated life to a victorious life. Amen. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, we have Jesus has just risen from the dead. How many know that was a good thing? And let's go to verse number 44. And Jesus said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Oh, praise God, I need to... Well, that's all right, concerning me. Verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." And then he started to explain what the cross was all about. Now, this was the day they were born again. We've done this before, but if you go over to John's account, John 21, or John 20, he gives the same account of this meeting. And he says he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." They were born again at that point. And so when they were born again, it says he opened their understanding. Now, to open their understanding is not the same as he gave them understanding. Amen. Open means he made it available. But they have to go in to access it. So it says when they were born again, a supernatural release was made upon their lives, that the Spirit of God was given to them, right? The veil was taken off of their minds, that now they could understand the Scriptures. And that's what happened to you. When you were born again, God took the veil off your mind. He gave you the Holy Spirit as a teacher, and now He made it possible. If you'll seek Him, He will give you understanding of the Word of God. But you still have to study it. You still have to seek Him for the wisdom and understanding, right? One of my favorite things to have happen in my life is for God to unveil a mystery to me. You know, I'm sure you're like me. You read the Scriptures and you find a verse you don't understand. First time I read the Bible, I think I read the whole Old Testament. I found one I did understand. I mean, it was that bad. I read the whole thing and I diligently read it hour after hour and didn't understand a thing of it. Nobody taught me. But the more I read it, the more I understood. So now, it's the exception to have a verse I don't understand versus one that I don't, right? Versus one that I do. What I ever said, you understand it. And God's given you the potential to understand every verse of Scripture if you'll seek Him for it. Mike ran across a parable here a few weeks ago. It was one of the parables that is a confusing parable. And he came to me about it. I said, "Mike, here's my explanation. Here's what I understand, but I don't know if I have it all." And he stayed before God. God said, "Keep rereading it. Keep rereading it." And God gave him the understanding of that parable. And when he told me, I said, "Oh, that's right. I remember that now." For God to give you an understanding of a mystery of the universe embedded in Scripture, what an awesome honor. And God's given each of us that potential to do it if we'll just seek Him for it. Amen. And, well, let me throw this in. Well, there may be some verses you don't understand, but it may not be the timing for that to be released yet as well. This Bible is like a contact capsule. You remember the old contact capsules? They were full of time-release, time-release medicine or whatever. 12 hours of continuous relief, time-release pieces. What a bunch of nonsense. It's the same pill of the same stuff. It may have been true, I don't know, but it didn't make doesn't make any sense. That one had a harder shell or something. I don't know. Anyway, it was continuous relief over time. And there's some aspects of the Word I don't believe God's unveiled to us yet. There are whole books I don't believe we have the full understanding of yet. God, I believe, is right now wanting to unveil the book of Ruth. I don't believe until recently the book of Job was unveiled. And I believe one of the last books to be unveiled is going to be Song of Solomon, because that's the wedding, the bridal book. Amen? To really comprehend what that's about. So don't get hung up if there's one you don't understand. It may not be the timing. But chances are, it's just a matter of seeking Him, and God's going to bring you that understanding. Amen? So God, Jesus, opened our understanding that we might understand the Scriptures. Because that's where the power comes from. That's where the blessing comes from. Ephesians chapter 1. How many would like to increase your understanding? Anybody beside me want to increase your understanding? How do you activate anything in the kingdom of God? By faith. Faith accesses all the blessings of the kingdom. You're not getting anything out of the kingdom without faith. It's the connector between the third heaven and the first heaven. Lets you receive of the supernatural, right? So it's going to require you to use your faith to receive of the things of God. And I want you to see, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's start at verse number 15. This is Paul praying for the Ephesian saints. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." I'd love to have Paul praying for me. How about you? Here's what he prayed. This is one of Paul's. We have really three that I can think of right off of Paul's main prayers he prayed. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, and Colossians chapter 1. Three major prayers he prayed. Here's the first one. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory, there's the glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, there's faith, according to the working of His mighty power, there's His grace in your life, His power released. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in heavenly place. Here Paul says, by having your understanding enlightened, you can access the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That would be pretty much unlimited potential. Far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under His feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Say, that's me. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He says, I'm praying this over this church, that God would open the eyes of your understanding. Listen, you can access the same power that Paul proclaimed over the Ephesians by claiming this passage by faith. Praying it over your own life. This is one of the standard passages on my confession list that I pray over in my life, that Father, I thank You that You open the eyes of my understanding. Amen? That I can comprehend the things of the kingdom. Pray it over your life. Speak it over your life. And then get in the Scriptures and believe it's going to come to pass. And then guard yourself against weeds coming up in your field. What do you mean by that? Never, ever. Don't even consider ever considering ever saying this. that I try to read, but I just don't understand the Scriptures? How many have said that before in the past? I just don't understand the Bible. What were you doing? You were declaring over your life the opposite of what Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. I don't care if you read chapter after chapter and didn't get a thing. Never say that, because your words carry authority. Instead, say, God gives me understanding of all the Scriptures. I receive it right now. And make a faith connection. See, right now, there may be somebody here saying, well, that's crazy because I just don't understand it. You're going to have to go beyond your past experience into a future expectation that God can shift it. And start declaring that He gives me, I have the mind of Christ. I can comprehend the mysteries of the universe. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead quick as my mortal body, and I can understand the things of the kingdom. And expect when you pray, you hear. In fact, let's cover this real quickly. You want to advance spiritually? Then change your expectation. Change your confession. Expect when you read, you understand. When you pray, you hear. Amen. And when you worship God, the anointing comes upon you. Shift from just doing a religious law or activities and expect it's really activating spiritual principles. And believe that you're no different from anybody else as far as your ability to receive. And what God did in Jesus, He'll do in you if you'll just believe for it. And watch things shift in your life. Patty used to, we were first married. And you guys know I love her, so I can pick on her without any problem, right? She doesn't mind it. I was on fire for God reading all the time. And she'd try to read and she'd always say, I just don't understand the Bible. I just don't understand. I don't get anything out of it. I'd say, don't say that. Say you understand it. I just don't get anything. And there were some years there early on, she didn't like to read because she was convinced she wouldn't get anything. Till she finally got the revelation that this word is written for me like it was my husband, is written for me like anybody else. God speaks to me in His Word, and she started reading the Word expecting to see. Now she teaches me out of it. Now she asks me questions or has comments, or when I say something, she says, that's not what the Word says. Go back to your past. I love it. Now she's in the Word all the time, every day, because she knows God's going to speak to her. And I know He speaks to her because of all the changes He's made. He's taken her from Quaalude Queen to quality woman of God by hearing the voice of the Spirit. Amen. How many times had she not heard God? She'd have been out the door. But God said, you have a perfect husband. Don't make up this big mistake. I better quit while I'm ahead. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. You see that in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause us to rise up and be the people of understanding. We thank You. In fact, Father, right now I proclaim over this church understands the Word of God. We comprehend the principles of the kingdom. We readily and eagerly feed off of the Word of God. We stand on the Word. And Father, I think each one makes a shift to believe they receive the blessings of Your kingdom. And Father, they never hit that point where they get frustrated because they don't gain enough out of the Word, but they dive in deeper and more seriously, more diligently into the Word of God to receive understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Let's do something in closing tonight. Amen. Stand to your feet. Grab the hand of somebody next to you. Repeat after me. Father, according to Your Word, I have a right to long life. So I shall not die, but I shall live and declare and display the works of the Lord. I've been given eternal life. I refuse sickness. I refuse lack. I refuse flesh to manifest and take over my life. I know the voice of God. I follow the voice of God. And no devil in hell is able to take me out of His hand. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Draw me fully into your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing. We'll see you.